We want to bring him all the honor and all the glory that we possibly can today. We invite you to sing these hymns with us.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burdens, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus, wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus, for the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled. By its transforming power, making him God's dear child. Purchasing peace from heaven for all eternity. For the wonderful grace of Jesus, wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus.
Our scripture reading is going to be 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 3. It says, as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and bow our heads, guys. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for just allowing us this opportunity to gather this morning and just to dig into your word and get to know you better, God. I just pray that you would make your revelation to us very clear, Lord, and allow us to take something from Brother Brett's message today and put it into practice, God. I pray that we would leave here changed and motivated by your spirit to do work for you, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, why don't we take a couple minutes just to greet each other and make each other feel welcomed, make note of the events we have coming up in the bulletin and your connection card as well.
Well, good morning, everybody. Let's see if you can find, well, hello, Scott. How you doing? See if you can make your way to your seat, if you will. Memorization. Well, y'all are pretty good visitors. Visit pretty good with everything. That's real good, real nice. We're going to have a little bit of a different morning this morning with all that's going on. This is going to be kind of a testimony morning, if you will.
Hello. Hello. Yes, sir? So a little bit of a testimony time today. We got our youth group's going to be coming and sharing with some of the things that took place out on the river there and such as that. I'll have our quick response team say a couple of words this morning. And then last week we were supposed to have our memorization Sunday, so that got pushed to this week. And so several things that we have going on there. So what it'll wind up this morning with all the little extras that we're going on. We got a baptism after everything said in here in a little bit. So a lot of little things that we're going to try to collect together. So more than likely, this may be the only time you'll ever get one of these. I'm probably going to bring a little sermonette here this morning. Now, don't get excited because my normal sermon's an hour. This will be 48 minutes. Sandwiched in there, so don't get too excited about being out and about before dark. So that's how we're going to kind of run things here. So the first thing that's on our agenda this morning, we're going to take a look at our folks that have memory verses that we have that you've put together since last time. If there are any of those folks in the house this morning, this would be a good time for you to stand up and make your way to the front. Here we go. Some brave and hearty souls standing in front of a room full of people thinking, do I really know it? Am I prepared? Am I ready? Going over it in their head. Oh, here we go. We'll give it. Sing another verse. We got some more coming. Here we go. So on every fifth Sunday, what we try to do is have some folks to challenge folks to memorize some new portions of Scripture, stuff that they haven't already done, something new, brand new, and then give opportunity for that to be shared during our worship time together, because I don't know about you, but it encourages me when I see folks that are hiding God's Word in their heart and taking something with them everywhere they go that can't be taken away. And so no matter where you go, you have His Word hid in your heart. You can chew on it anywhere, any place, any time. And as a pastor, that really encourages me to see folks that make that effort to do exactly that. We're told in Scripture that we're to memorize and that we're to meditate on that Word, and that it is part and parcel of a good Christian living. We talked since the first of the year about progressing in the Christian life. Yes? And this is one of those disciplines of progress in the Christian life that everyone ought to make a part of their life, that we ought to regularly, consistently be committing God's Word to our memory, and so that on a moment's notice we have what we need when the enemy shows up in and around our life. And he shows up pretty regularly around my house. I don't know about you. And so we need to have things that we can combat that with. And the Word of God is a very important piece of that material. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Asking Jane, what was the first one?
Amen.
Actually, this first one is something special because the man that told me what it says and how what it means is sitting here listening to it. Zephaniah 3:17. And I'm so nervous. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee. I'm so full of emotion this morning.
Amen.
The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Thank you.
Amen.
Psalm 22:5. They cried unto the Lord and they were delivered. They trusted in him and they were saved. I may be wrong. I've lived on these for a while. I'll get it just a minute. The third one. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Amen. Amen.
This is my first time up here, as scary as you know what. But you know, it was a long time ago that I memorized, and I decided I was too old to do that. But God said, I'm not too old, thankfully. Now we'll find out if this comes out right. First Peter 1:13-16. Prepare your hearts for action. Be courageous. Set your heart fully upon the hope that will be given you, on the grace that will be given you when Jesus Christ appears. As obedient children, do not conform your minds to things you did before or while you were still ignorant. Just as he who called you is holy, so you be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And my go-to verse is Philippians 4:4-7. Praise the Lord always. I say again, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on. Let your enthusiasm, that's not the right word, but that's what it means, be obvious to everyone. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, praise the Lord with. But in everything, let your prayers be known to the Lord. Let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will protect your hearts and your minds forever in Christ Jesus.
Well, amen.
You'll discover that it's difficult to do. It makes you so nervous. And you know your verses very well, but then you stand up here in front of everyone, and it's hard to remember when we look at all of you. I'd like to challenge all of you. This is so few people from our whole congregation. I'd like to challenge each of you. One verse, you can learn one verse in a quarter. So we should have a bunch of people up here. We should be wrapping around the sides because it's worthy to do. We should all memorize scripture. You'd be surprised how many times it helps you in your daily living when you remember a scripture that you've learned already. So y'all be working on that next time. We should have a bunch of people up here saying scripture. Number 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.
I wish that Brother Ben Sheck were here. I used to like to talk to him after the services, and I would go up to him and I'd say, Brother Ben, we're getting up a load going to Beulah Land this afternoon. You want to go? And he would smile real big. He said, friend, I'm ready. Well, he's already gone to Beulah Land, but I'm going to recite the only verse that has the word Beulah in the Bible, and that is Isaiah 62, verse 4. Isaiah 62, 4. All right. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land be termed desolate. For thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord is for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Isaiah 62, 4.
I'd like to just piggyback on what Bobby said. You know, we had VBS a couple weeks ago, and we asked those kids to memorize not only one verse a day, but actually six verses for the entire week. And a lot of these kids are not even church folks, come from unchurched families. We ask our Awana kids to learn multiple verses. All of them learn at least one verse a week, I believe. And so I know that these little ones can do it, and we ask them to do it, and we expect them to do it. Question I have is, why can't we do it? Yeah. Scripture I have for this time is Romans 5, 1 through 8. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith to this grace wherein we stand. Not only that, rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, we glory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, character, and character, faith. I'm sorry, that's wrong. And character, hope. Now, this hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured on into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely would someone die for a righteous man, but perhaps someone might even die for a good man. But God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Faith is the assurance of things not the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. By it, men of old gained approval.
Well, my memory verses come from Sunday school class. Just recently, we've been in Timothy, 1 Timothy, and we just concluded 1 Timothy today. The verses I'll try to share with you today are 1 Timothy 1, 15, 16, and 17. As I was going through this verse here, 1 Timothy 1, 15 says this, it's a trustworthy statement, worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I'm worst of all, foremost of all. And to memorize that scripture in Sunday school, there was other, that was actually the third step to memorizing it. And I found out that the first step was, as you to memorize it, you had to look at yourself, get a picture and look at yourself, and I memorized that. And as I was memorizing that scripture, the first two steps there, I couldn't help but go down the Roman roads because mercy and grace was tied to that lesson. As I went down the Roman roads there, you know, Romans 3:23 says, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, Christ Jesus. If we got what I really deserved, I wouldn't be here today. But through the grace of Jesus Christ and his mercy on me, a sinner, I'm able to be here today to give him glory. He gets all the glory. Romans 5:8, but Christ demonstrated his own love for us in this, yet while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, that's amazing grace, everyone. Amen on that. Romans 10:9-10. If we confess in our mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in our heart that Christ raised him from the that Christ was raised from the dead, we shall be saved. Because with our heart we first believe and made righteous. It's with our mouth we confess and say. Romans 10:13, the great news about the gospel, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Our prayer today is no one will leave here without Jesus Christ in heart. Without the grace of Christ, and where I've learned to reflect on that and look at that is in my quiet time in the morning. One of the first scriptures I ever memorized was Psalms 119:11. Lord, I treasure your word in my heart, so I may not sin against thee. We talked about Sunday school today, one of our biggest investments and stuff. One of the biggest investments, I had an opportunity to be part of a church family that encouraged memorizing scripture. I encourage you to get started on that. And because it would be such a blessing to you down the road, because whatever we got now, we're not taking it with us. It's just what's in our hearts. And also in the morning time when I studied God's word there, I thought about Psalms 119, 105. Lord, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to our path. Remember last week when Danny Humble came in here and preached his heart out to us about that. He reminded us, don't look too far down the path. Well, God's word in the morning, where I reflected on memorizing these scriptures, that's when I'm closest to the Lord right there. That's when I look at myself in the mirror. And realize who I am and see where I'm progressing and where I'm failing at. And it's a light to my path through the day as I think about scriptures and situations come up. So then, 1 Timothy 1:16, so then I found mercy, me being foremost of all. So Christ Jesus show his perfect patience, demonstrate his perfect patience as an example to those who might believe in him for eternal life. As Christians, we have responsibility, all fingers pointing to myself, hey, to live a life for Christ out there. And I looked at that, looking at a picture of myself. I try not to live my life in pictures. I try to live my life in real life. Because sometimes we can have a picture of ourselves where I had a hard struggle being foremost a sinner of all. I had to look at myself. And so you look at that picture. Am I progressing? Am I failing? I'm falling, but I'm still getting up to glorify Christ. And closing there, 1 Timothy 1:17. So to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever. Amen. That's what Paul said to Timothy as he encouraged him as a young pastor to go on and pursue his calling that the Lord had for him. I say in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for allowing me to share this with
you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Gotcha. Next fifth Sunday, September. So now's the time to... Let's have our ushers come. We'll go ahead and take up the morning offering here in just a second. As I was looking down that line of folks there just a minute ago, a scripture came to me, well, with the exception of Hubert. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I'm the Lord. I looked down a bunch of gray-headed folks out here sharing scripture. And we need some other colors to intersperse in among that, if you will. When do you guys come pray for the offering?
Pray with me, please. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this church. Thank you that we live in a free country where we can openly worship you. Thank you for our pastor. Be with him this morning as he brings your word to us. And help, if there's anyone here that doesn't have a relationship with you, help them to make a decision for you today. And help the word, help it be clear to the ones that are Christians and help us to use it in our life to go out and take it to the world. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother.
What you're hearing. Whether that be that God is convicting you to be more obedient and be in your Bible, today is the day to respond. If God is convicting you to engage in a personal relationship with him, today is the day to respond. However God has spoken to you throughout this trip, today is the day to respond. Today is when we need to move. Today is when we need to start putting one foot in front of the other in our Christian walk that people talk about so regularly.
Stuck, I was running around brokenhearted. I was sinking so fast, I couldn't last, falling apart. And you could have run away, leaving me there in my shame, leaving me fighting my pain. But you made a better way.
Oh, oh, oh.
I've been saved goodbye to the sinner. I'm held by the Father above. No more shame. Born out of the desert and drowned in the power of love. Showing me all of my life in a new light. Every step, every breath, like it's the first time. You could've run away, leaving me there in my shame, leaving me fighting my pain, but you made a better way.
Oh, oh, oh.
I've been saved goodbye to the sinner. I'm held by the Father above. No more shame. Born out of the desert and drowned in the power of love.
Oh,
So last week, or the week before last, we took approximately 27 youth out to the river. Our primary focus during that was the transformation process through cultivating an intimate relationship with Christ. We really challenged the kids to establish their own relationship with Christ, getting in their Bible, digging in, and coming to communicate with Him regularly. The whole purpose of the river trip was to try to establish some of those routines, waking up early in the morning, reading the Bible, and then setting aside 15, 20 minutes for quiet time, and then coming back in the evening, and we would have our group times and our lessons as well. Throughout the process, to me, as a worker, it was exceptionally valuable. I got to see a lot of people in our church work and minister in ways that you wouldn't regularly see. Just to call out one of my helpers, Mr. Max back there, as some of the kids refer to him as Drill Sergeant Max. I actually had the pleasure of witnessing him sitting Indian style on the porch, actually leading a 12-year-old girl to Christ and just going through some of that scripture with him, going through the scripture with her in that process, and just getting to see that, to me, was rewarding as a leader, getting to see our helpers come alongside and just work towards a common goal, and that's just trying to point these kids in the right direction and just sharing the gospel with them and sharing the Bible with them and just showing the value of it. Again, that was our primary goal throughout this entire process. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. We did a lot of crazy stuff at the river. Some people got hit in the face with pies, things along those lines. But all of this was made possible because of the helpers that we have. And I'll say it just like every time I get to get up here and talk, we have some of the best helpers in the youth program in the entire church. We had the Owens, who took care of all of our food. My mother-in-law, who cooked all of the food beforehand, so the hard work was out of the way. We just primarily had the focus of just the kids and the gospel and reading through that Bible daily. And so that was a big burden taken off of us. And I spent a lot of time with our leaders, Mr. Thompson and Max, just discussing all kinds of things about the Bible. And to me, it grew me as a Christian. It was very valuable to me. So going on these retreats, yes, it's beneficial for the kids, but it's also exceptionally beneficial for the workers. Reapers and the sowers are getting blessed tremendously throughout that entire process. And I have a couple of kids who wanted to speak about the river trip as well.
Hello, how are you? I had a ton of fun at the river trip. There were a lot of games. Thank you, Miss Lauren. We went to Stonehenge, a fake Stonehenge, one time. We didn't actually go to Scotland. I really enjoyed going hiking. We went to an enchanted rock and went hiking. It was raining the whole time, so it was nice weather. I loved all of the messages, and I felt like I grew in my faith during this trip. So it was amazing. Thank you all so much for providing the ability to go.
Like Holden said, the river trip, it was really fun. And we got to pie some leaders, which was my favorite part, getting to pie Miss Lauren. And also just establishing patterns in like our Christian, like having quiet time together as a whole was really cool, because we just all got to do that together. And then Holden's messages were really, really good, and about, you know, trying to find out where you fit in your Christian walk and just furthering your Christian walk. And like Julia said, thank you all for helping. You made it really fun, and you made it a week to remember, and I can't wait for next year. Thank you.
If you can't tell, I'm nervous. Just like Ashley and Julia said, the river was very fun. The cabins that we stayed in were very nice. If you can't tell from the video, the river was itself was really fun. We had a rope swing, canoes, and fishing, so there was lots of stuff for us to do. I'd like to share with you guys how this river trip impacted me spiritually. The thing that was most influential to me was the quiet time that we had in the morning. It was just a great reminder that I need to be in my Bible daily. And I just like to thank everybody who made this river trip possible, the kitchen crew, all the chaperones, and everybody who just prayed for this trip. Thank you.
Well, y'all got to hear from some of the younger kids. Now you get to hear from an old kid. Salem Sayers took a group of youth to the river week before last. Y'all took them. I was privileged to be one to be able to go with them. But sincere thanks to this body of believers who makes things like this possible. This is the mission of our church. We seek to reach the lost for our Messiah, and we seek to disciple and raise up those who we've reached to serve him. And that's what we were able to do. And I can't tell you, I cannot express, I bet you didn't know that we went all the way to Stonehenge. Along with the frustrations, I can't tell you how loud and messy and stinky things can get at times, and how frustrating it can be to see 10,000 water bottles sitting out on a yard repeatedly. But that doesn't compare to the joy of seeing young people go off by themselves and sit down and open up the Word and have their own quiet time. To have these young people come back and make connections in scriptures during this quiet time and tell you where the scripture led them to and what they were taught out of it. To have these young people make a profession to follow him, to become saved. To have young people rededicate their lives and not just out of emotion. If emotion saves you, your emotion's going to fail you. But when it's real, it stays with you. And to see some of these young people in their quiet times come to these convictions and come back to tremendous service is so, I cannot express how rewarding it is to be able to go to events with a body of believers, and especially with our youth and our children. If you feel that you have been led in that direction and have never surrendered and never stepped out and did it, I would highly encourage you to consider it, because it is far more rewarding than it is challenging, and the blessings that you'll receive will stick with you for a long, long, long time. So thank y'all very much for sending this group to the river to have some time together, to fellowship, to have fun, and to take seriously the calling that's been placed on our lives. Thank you.
Thank you again for allowing us to come up here. Listening to the youth and listening to the folks that memorize Bibles, if you're not part of a mission in this church, please get involved. Of course, we're representing disaster relief, but there's so many different missions in this church that anyone could be involved. But we're going to talk a little bit about disaster relief. 2 weeks ago, there was a huge flood down in the valley area. They got around 14 inches of rain within a matter of a few hours. Over 4,000 homes are flooded now. Disaster relief, SBTC, is down there now doing mass feeding. They're feeding 5,000 plus. We had the opportunity to go down there last week with a quick response team. There was four of us, Mariel, Brother Brett, myself, and Connie. Connie's in the nursery right now, but otherwise she'd be here. If you've never been on a mission, as they said on the youth, you're missing a tremendous blessing for yourself. We were able to go down there. And I'll tell you a quick story how it comes about. And this really points out how the Lord works if you'll just allow him to take the lead and lead you. we got the call to go down there, and I called a couple and says, hey, we've been asked, don't worry, we'll probably head out tomorrow. Well, about 30 minutes later, I was calling the same team back and say, we're going to pull out tonight. Where are we going? I don't know. Just get your stuff ready. We're going to head to the valley. And they go, okay, what part of the valley? I said, just head to the valley. We'll worry about that some other point. And our state director is telling me the same thing. Don't worry about it, Ronnie. Just head that way. And we said, how many are we going to feed? Don't worry about it. Just head that way. And Brother Brad always talks about taking that first step. So we took that first step. Going down there, Scotty calls us and says, well, y'all were going to be feeding at the Red Cross shelter, but that fell through. And we're working on another location for y'all to go to. Okay. So y'all just stay in, where did we stay?
Kingsville.
So y'all spend the night in Kingsville, and early Thursday morning, y'all go on down to Raymondville. We'll have a place for you. So we did that. We head to Raymondville first thing that next morning, Thursday morning. We get there about 8 o'clock, and still no word from our state director where we're going to set up. So we said, okay, let's just park here in this HEB parking lot and see what happens. By the way, we've gone about as far as we can go before we get into the flooded areas. You start seeing the roads being covered with water and stuff. So we've gone about as far as we can go. And we're sitting there going, you know, we don't have a place to set up. We don't know who we're going to be feeding or nothing. And there was all of a sudden two ladies come running across the parking lot. And they said, what are y'all doing here? And we said, well, we're part of disaster relief. We came down here as quick response team, and we can feed up to 300-400 meals a day easily. Not easily, but we can. They said, well, we have a perfect place for you. And I'm going, I appreciate it. I thank you for thinking about us. But we've got a state director working on this. And if nothing develops, I'll get back with you. You know, I did the nice thing. We appreciate you. And we'll remember. Meanwhile, I'm thinking, okay, Scotty, you're going to call and tell us where to go set up. By the way, these two ladies were from the First United Methodist Church. I'm going, okay, I got my preacher with me, and we're fixing to go set up at the First United Methodist Church, but we'll worry about that. So I said, we're real nice to them, and they moved on into HEB and did their shopping. About that time, our state director called and said, I don't have a place for y'all. Do you know of a place? And I said, well, matter of fact, we just had two ladies show up. Long story short, we ended up setting up at the First United Methodist Church. We got there about 10 o'clock that morning. By noon, or by 1 o'clock, we had fed 300-plus hamburgers. And the whole point of this is our team, tried to control where we go, what we set up. And all we had to do is say, okay, God, we're here, put us where you want us. And he did real quick. There's some special stories. I won't go into any of them, but I'd like Mariel to talk about some of the things that meant a lot to her. And I know I'm putting you in the spot, too.
So this is my second time going with the disaster relief team. It's been about a year since the first time I got to go. And the first time we fed our people, like disaster relief people were there working, and we fed them. So a small group. It was about like 50, 60 people probably. Well, this time we went during an actual crisis. We were needed for the actual crisis at hand, not just for the relief teams. So we fed, we didn't know how many we were gonna feed, but the first day, like we said, we set up, we already started having a line around the block before we were even done with the first round of hamburgers. So we ended up feeding over 300 people that day, the first day we set up. And we had to actually turn some people away because we didn't have any more food. We had already cooked everything we had in the trailer. So we knew then that we were needed and that we were in a good spot. And turns out that church, they actually help a lot of people in the area. So a lot of people knew about that church. So it was a really good spot for us to be, for people to know where to come. there's a lot of stories that happened that were huge blessings to me, blessings to the team. I love working with Connie and Ronnie. So it was really fun for me just to go.
even if I only fed two people, it would have been a great experience for me to do that. We had a couple of Bible studies, and the one that sticks out for me is just remembering, even in your day-to-day life, that as long as your heart is in the right place for whatever you're doing, if you're helping someone or whatever it is, even if your heart is in the right place, maybe theirs is not, it still can be a blessing for you. So, and I need to remember that, because sometimes I get caught up in the thing of life, of just saying like, well, do they need it? Like, I don't know if they need it. And that doesn't matter. What matters is where your heart is. So that's all I got.
Brett, did you have? Okay. I will make one plea for disaster relief. The valley is hurting now. There's over 4,000 homes flooded. There's need for meals at these shelters that people are staying in. So if you're part of disaster relief or ever thought of being part of disaster relief, please get with one of us. We'll show you how to get online, where you can get the training needed. But there is a emergency need for folks, especially in the feeding area, but any of the other ministries. Please, if you ever thought about it, consider it now, especially the week of the 14th through the 21st. They're hurting on that. So that's all I have.
You to stand.
Please join us in singing.
Praises rising, eyes are turning to you, we turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you, 'cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Hosanna. Hosanna. You are the God who saves us. Worthy of all our praises. Hear the sound of hearts returning to you. We turn to you. In your make us new, 'cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Hosanna. Hosanna. God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all. Coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break, his broken hearts declare his praise. But who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, the Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. And who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. For the sin of the world, His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. For the sin of the world, His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him.
You may be seated.
Another one thought he might escape with everything. Those of you that do or maybe don't, this is Scott Shrimp's.
I don't say it.
Say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's a local product.
Yep.
Was in this church a long time, worked in youth program and all that sort of thing. But now he's pastoring. And
I grew up and then I somehow grew that way. I don't get it.
I hear you, brother. So I just wanted to get you up just to remind folks that you're still living.
Yes,
and
I am.
And all of that, and because there's a lot of folks that are encouraged, you know, by your life and by where the Lord's taking you and what He's doing with you and all that.
Sure.
And then there's a lot of new folks that don't have a clue about any of that, but they're smiling right now anyway. And so it's all good. So listen, you've heard what's been going on around here. And some of the testimonies and things that are happening. I know that God is God over every place.
Sure.
And I know He's working where you are.
Absolutely.
And is there a commonality? Is there something common that your church and our church have in common right now? Something that you can put a finger on?
Absolutely. If you just look at the things that we see with our human eyes, we see a lot of the programs that are a lot the same. We have great kids that are hearing about the gospel of Jesus Christ through our Vacation Bible School. We have youth that are getting encouraged in the Word of God as the churches. I mean, y'all are the ones who faithfully give, and y'all are the ones who faithfully pray for our young people so that they can hear the gospel, they can receive the gospel. Others who have been saved, who may have been walking away from the Lord, they've been able to be brought near because of your prayers and your faithful giving. And so on those things, we can look and we see that there's a lot of similarity. But another thing that I'm seeing that we don't always see, all right? We don't always see that we live in a society now that, let's just be honest, is against everything that's being proclaimed at the pulpit, mm-hmm. all right? Our students, our children, our youth, our adults, our families are just getting bombarded with messages that do not come from heaven. All right, Satan is alive and well, and he will do anything possible, even things that look good, in order to get us distracted. And so it's a safe assumption to know this. If you guys are following Jesus, you have an enemy.
Amen.
All right? There are people here with smiling faces, all right, that are here right now. You weren't smiling on your way up here, okay? And some of you, because you may have put a wall between you and God, are not going to be smiling on your way home. Just be honest. And so my prayer, my plea, which is exactly what's going on in South Carolina, is that you would see that He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Amen.
Your marriage, your relationship with your kids, your relationships with your parents. Listen, there's an enemy who'll do anything to distract you from the truth that this is not the battle, all right? Okay, flesh and
not
blood.
Not between us.
All right, absolutely not. Okay, there is a principality that's against us. And if you could know that, and if you could just lean upon Him, just like those verses that were shared today, if we would actually believe what God's Word says, we will see the power of God in a mighty way, not just here at Salem Sayers, but throughout South Carolina and literally throughout all the nations. So, listen, we have the same God. The Lord Jesus Christ, He showed, someone said that, He demonstrated, He showed His love. No one can leave this place today saying, does God love me? Because
right.
The answer has been established. God showed His love towards us, and that while we are sinners, He died for us. That truth is the same as it was 2,000 years ago, and it's the same as it is right here in America as well as Africa. So yeah, God is still God.
Amen.
He's sovereign over all. thank y'all so much for coming. Some of y'all know why we're here. My mother passed away, and she was 78 years old, and so our family's here just kind of loving on each other. It's good to know this. I didn't grow up with her, all right? My parents had divorced when I was very young, but it's good to know that the past few years she has proclaimed that she does know the God who saves her. And so that's Amen. All the encouragement of the world. Thank you for Amen. Being here, brother.
I love Press you, on, my brother.
Love you. Yeah. And Thanks. You know my wife. She's awesome.
Thank you, brother. So how's that for a little bit of everything this morning? Turn over to the little old book of Jude, if you will, for just a minute. I'm going to wrap up with just a few thoughts. And I'll start with and in the conclusion. Is that okay? I preached a message a couple of 3 months ago about progressing in pity. And that's one of those messages that kind of continues to stick with me, progressing in pity, progressing in compassion. And what we've listened to and looked at and kind of had on display before us this morning with all the different things that have been brought here today is it has its root in compassion. Take a look at verse 20. In this one chapter epistle, it says, But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. This little epistle's basically written in the face of apostasy. And so there's warnings in here, and what Jude tries to tell us is that we need to be contending for the faith, that we need to be earnestly contending for the faith that's been once delivered to the saints. And so when we're talking about apostasy, which is in the time that we're living in, the times that Scott talked about just a moment ago, is how everything is against us. This is not our home. This is not our home, believer. We're looking for something better. We're looking for something beyond this life. We live in this life, but we look to live beyond this life as well. So these things and these problems and the enemies that we have and such as that, what is happening is because the church of today doesn't have a footing. Our footer is bad, and the foundation is bad, and so our faith is. As a group, as a whole, is wobbly, and folks fall away, and so the message in this book is just as timely today as it ever was in its time, with warning us to make sure that certain things are tended to, and that's why we talk about memorization and having those daily quiet times and all the foundational issues that we talk about here this morning. I hope you saw that. And the reason for that is because we have compassion for one another. Our bowels yearn to see folks have the foundation that will allow them to stand in these evil days, in these evil times that are before us. And so this yearning is what we have as a church, and you can see that. This yearning happens with the ministries. It happens with the youth. It happens with the VBS. It happens with everything that we're doing here. We have this great yearning to have everyone put on a solid foundation of Jesus Christ, and we want to challenge each other. We want to challenge each other to be about His business, to make sure that that foundation is solid, so that we don't have folks falling away and folks giving the church a black eye. And we have to, you know, I spent a lot of time early on in my ministry running around apologizing for Christians. Running around apologizing for Christians. Going to a church, well, you know, this happened and that happened and then this happened and that happened and, you know, all this bad stuff. And I'm really sorry, you know, that all that happened to you and all of this. And I realized, you know, that wasn't going to cut it. We needed to stand up and have a foundation, you know, and that we needed to give people a place to go rather than looking at the past of the failures of the past. And the only way to do that is to set a solid foundation where you find it and let folks grow up in the faith so that they're able to withstand anything that comes against them. Now, there's a lot of things in this passage that we could go into. Maybe we will at some other point. It talks about building up yourselves in your most holy faith. What that's basically talking about is being in the Word of God, okay? You got to be in the Word of God. You're not going to have a foundation. You're not going to have a faith that's built apart from the Word of God. You got to get into the Word of God. It's important to be in there working through that. It's going to be, it's like a scattering seed out there among the stones. If it's not in the good ground and put into the good soil, that it's not going to grow up and have a good root on it. And so it gets thrown down there. So you've got to get into the Word of God, prepare your heart so that when the Word comes, then something strong comes out of it and that you're able to withstand in the when the sun comes up and scorches and does all those things. So the first thing it tells us is there's some steps in here. Guard against apostasy. Number one, build yourself up in your own most holy faith. Get into the Word of God. Second, we're to pray to the Holy Ghost. We're to pray to the Holy Spirit. One of two places that this is talked about here and over in Ephesians 6 where it talks about the armor of God and that we are to pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, that we were to watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So one of two places that we're told to pray in the Spirit here. And in the same order, first off, we're talking about the most holy faith here, getting into the Word of God. If you remember in the armor of God, the first thing that's talked about is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You have to have that Word of God as a foundation. It's the offensive part of the weaponry, along with the prayer and all of that. And so the same order is here. Get into the Word and then pray in the Spirit with all that. What that means is that we have to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. So it's giving us some places, some ways and means and some markers that we need to look through in order to stand up in the times of apostasy. I mean, when it's talking about praying in the Spirit, so often us as Christians, we pray like a kid goes to the store with us. You ever take a kid to the store? Sure you do. What do? I want that. I want that. I want that. And next thing you know, they're putting stuff in the basket without you looking and all that sort of thing. I want this. I want that. Give me this. I want that and the other thing. And that's how our prayer life certainly many times winds up being. I want this. Give me that. I'll have this. And give me some of that. Put this and put this in my cart too. But the Lord knows better. He knows what we need. And He knows what we don't need. And so He's the parent that says, put that back. And no, you can't have that. And no, you won't be having any of those either. That's not good for you, you see. And so we need to learn to pray in the Spirit rather than just praying out here and praying our gimme, everything with that. So prayer is the Holy Spirit. Speaking in the believer through Christ to the Father. We have to understand that there's a process with that. Third thing that it talks about here is keeping ourselves in the love of God. Can we keep God from loving us? Can we keep God from loving us? Easy question. The answer is no. We can't keep God from loving us, okay? So this is not talking about how we're thinking about things, but what this is getting at is that we can put barriers up between us and God, that we can put barriers up so that we don't experience the full experience of Him. We put things between us and Him, which keeps us from experiencing this full love of God, okay? So we don't enjoy the intensity that we ought to because of things that are filtering into our life. That means that we need to just stay clean. And then verse 4 says that we're to, the fourth thing is, says that we're looking for mercy. God was so concerned about us that he extended mercy to you. And that he extended mercy to me when he saved us by grace. And so we're to live expectantly, waiting for him to come, right? We're to be looking for him, waiting for him to come back and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we might be also. God's rich in mercy, or else we'd never be saved. He is rich with it. We could not be saved apart from his mercy. And now, verse 22, it says, now look to others. Now look to others. And this is kind of where everything this morning has kind of been headed. That we need to be looking to others. And if some have compassion, in other words, the way that we go about things, the way that we go about and live our Christian life, if we've got everything else in its proper order and proper place there, if we're progressing and moving and having our being in him and going as we ought to be and doing as we ought to be doing, then what that'll do is that'll convince others. It's a convincing thing for others, convincing them and making a difference in those lives, you see. One of the things that Muriel brought up here just a moment ago, because, and you see this in any kind of situation, is where there's a lot of takers in this world. A lot of people that just want to take and take and take and take. And we have to check our own hearts so many times about things, because then we start making determinations about takers. And then we can become very bitter and disillusioned about certain things. And so we have to make sure that all the rest of this process is in place before we start dealing with other people. That Word of God and looking to the Lord and all of these things, praying in the Spirit and all of these things build up a foundation for us so that we can go about our daily life in a positive way, in a way that would be pleasing unto the Lord, and that people can be touched as a result of that. Good case in point for that is just like these disaster relief deployments, especially in crisis mode. When you pull up into an area down in there, you pull up for the right reasons. And the reason is that you want to help people. You know that people are really hurting in all of these things, and they're in crisis mode. They don't know which way to turn. They don't know what to do. They don't know what's fixing to happen. They don't know what another day is going to be. They don't know. And everything's in turmoil. So you show up in a compassion mode. But when you show up in that crisis mode, and you show up with the right heart, with the right attitude, and all these sort of things, you still have to guard yourself, because there's a lot of people, even in situations like that, that want to take. And they want to take knowing that there's people that need things worse than they do. Okay? And that's just the way it is. And so when you show up there and you start trying to help people in crisis, you can't get caught up with things like, well, we got to put this one over here because we don't really think that they're right and real. And then we put this one over here because I think they have a real need or whatever else. You can be completely wrong on all of that. So you got to come in riding on your white horse with your right attitude and all of that sort of thing, understanding I'm going to treat everybody the same. I'm here for everyone that shows up, however they show up, whatever they look like, however they act, whatever's taking place, because this crisis, I can't tell who's real and who's not. And I'm here for one reason. My bowels yearn for them. I have compassion on these dear folks, and I want to help them. And not just help them just for help's sake, but to help them to show them that there's another way. To help them to show them that there is a God, and that God does care. And through some people, some folks, that he's going to make a way for things to happen in your life. And so this crisis mode, you got to have a lot of heart checking that takes place with that. There's time down the road to vet people, but it's not at crisis time. The time down the road to do that is during recovery time, you see. There's a distinct moving of these things from one area to the other. And in that crisis time, many times you're there to listen. You're not there to shove things down people's throat. You're not there to do other things. You're there to listen. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a story. Did you know that? We spent the first 3 days there listening to stories, listening to where their heart was, listening to what had happened to these individuals, listening to how, what their troubles were. I mean, there's a lot of stories, a lot of things, a lot of hurt. And not just listening, but having your heart go out to them. And then in that connection time that takes place there, then you have opportunities to be able to share the gospel. Recovery time, they're going to have many opportunities to share the gospel because of relationships that are already formed. Through that crisis time, there's a connection that's there. And there's another team that's showing up. And that next team that's showing up is doing recovery things, whereby they're able to spend more time on a family. Whereas in crisis mode, a family shows up and says, I need four. I've got two kids. We're getting back into the water. We're headed out of here. You don't have time to say, sit down over here. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. All they know is they're hurting, their people are hungry, and they need to get some food back there, you see. So what we do is have compassion on them. Amen. And we love them. And we provide what we can to make that journey smoother. And trust Him that somebody in the next phase is going to be able to sit down with them and do something much more substantial than all of that. If you listen to people, you hear things. I've got lung cancer. What do I do? I just found out last week, and I'm scared. Now my house is wrecked. What do I do? We're going to have this same problem again. The railroad's over here, and they've got this dike, and they've got this, but they keep doing the same things over, and it's going to happen again, and my house is going to get flooded again, and I'm angry with them. Happens every time it rains. You listen. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a story. And their stories touch your heart. And they cause you to want to be helpful, be something for these individuals. And when you do that, paves the way for that next team to be able to do something with them as well. It's a beautiful process. And see, this is the whole process, even in the church, out of the church, whatever else. It's this area of compassion and listening. Compassion and listening. Youth group takes 27 kids off to the river. It's not about, here's my agenda, my agenda, my agenda, my agenda, my agenda. It's about listening to what they're saying. Listening to what these kids are sharing. Listening to what they're not saying. And trying to make a bridge of some kind between there and where their help is. Right? That's what it is in VBS. That's what it is in any ministry that takes place here. Listen, friend, we need to be about listening and having a heart that's engaged. Being compassionate. Having our bowels yearn for one another. To want to have a desire to help and to move people along the continuum from faith to faith, if you will, to build that faith in all of these things. So we got a mess around us out here in this world, but we also got the answer. We have the answer, the only answer that there is. And that's what makes it easy when you hear somebody say, I'm scared. Got lung cancer, I don't have anything going on, that you can step up and say to that individual, talk to that individual from a standpoint of Jesus Christ and talk about, how's your soul? Because you know what? All of this is going to pass away. But how's your relationship with the Lord? It's on a little shaky ground today, she says. It's on a little shaky ground today. I thought I was pretty strong in my faith, but the last couple of weeks have really taken me down a notch. God's still God. Just a few words later, the little memorized scripture, and that individual walks away with a spring in their step and understanding, you know, we can do this. We can do this. Me and the Lord, we're a majority. We can do this. And moving through. listening to those stories. There's stories in here. There's stories in here this morning. There's people in here that are hurting. And there's some of you in here this morning that are hurting and thinking, I don't know if I can trust these people. I don't know if I want my story out because these people have loose lips. And then folks that ought to be caring and have those bowels of compassion come in to get, to take, rather than to give. Take rather than give. Oh, we saw some takers too. You pick them up on them after 3 or 4 days. They show up at mealtime, and then if they don't like what you give or what you're putting out that day, I guess I'll see y'all tomorrow. Obviously, it wasn't a real need in the life, is that right? What do you eat if you're hungry? What do you eat if you're really hungry? I've had a pickle sandwich before. How about you? Huh? I was hungry. So takers are everywhere. Takers in here. The baseline for this is that compassion. That compassion that we're to have one for another. To bring some folks to the place of that, of that faith and understanding that there's more to it than just talking a good game. Amen? So let's continue to have that compassion one for another. Make it easy for people to let their hair down. Make it easy for people to let their struggles be known, because we can be trusted. Because we'll do something. Let that be us. Let that be our testimony. Listen. Be a good listener. When you listen and you have all those other things in place, then the Lord is it is easy for the Lord to move you into some kind of activity. It's so easy for Him to move you. When you're in the Word, and you're praying and your relationship with Him is strong, and you understand that this life is not all there is, this is the foundation for compassion. Build your foundation. Be a good listener. Be compassionate. One towards another. This morning, if you're not saved, I'd highly recommend to you Jesus Christ. He has been a good Savior to me. And I suggest that if you don't know Him in the pardon and forgiveness of sin this morning, that maybe you get quiet and alone with Him during this time that we call an invitation. That you just get real quiet and you listen to Him this morning. You see, God is in the business of using that same Holy Spirit to draw you to Himself. And in that drawing process, to convict you of your need, to convince you that He is the way, the truth, and the life, to convince you that you need Him more than anything else in your life. There's nothing you can't face with Him in your life. There is nothing He can't do. Now, I'll tell you this. He's not in the business of all the time suspending the laws of nature. But He's still a miracle-working God. And when He decides to do it, He'll do it. And my prayer is that one of the greatest miracles that is ever performed would be performed here this morning. That someone who's lost would recognize their need of a Savior and invite Him. Receive Him in the pardon and forgiveness of sin. One of the greatest miracles ever. And I pray that that'll happen right here in our midst this day. If you're not saved, you can be. And if you're not sure what that means or how to go about that, when some Christians come to pray about certain things during this invitation, why don't you just follow them down to an old-fashioned altar? Catch my eye. And we'll take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved and know it. Can we do that this morning? Let's do. Let's stand for prayer. Jason's going to come. There's a lot of things that have been presented this morning. A lot of needs that have been put out here this morning. And I'd ask an interest in your prayer for them. As the Lord directs you, as the Holy Spirit instructs you about what needs to be prayed for, I'd ask you to come pray for your brother, for your sister, for those that you church with. I'd ask you to pray for your needs this morning. Meet the Lord at an old-fashioned altar. I would encourage you to do that. And then again, those of you that don't know Him, why don't you follow those Christians that are coming to pray for those needs and get your biggest need taken care of this morning, the salvation of your soul. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for the great opportunity and the many testimonies that we've had this morning. We thank you that you are alive and well and working. And Lord, that you are having your being in some of these dear folks around us today. Lord, there's so many needs. As I look across this group today, I just see need after need. But I also see many that are depending on you for those needs. And boy, that is a glorious thought to me. And I thank you so much for instilling this faith in so many folks. I pray, dear God, where there is faith lagging here this morning in some of your children, I pray, dear God, that you would begin to convict and convince folks to undergird that faith with the Word of God, Lord, that they might be able to stand on a sure foundation. I'd ask you further, Father, this morning that you'd be pleased to draw that last step of the way, some that don't know you today. Convince and convict folks of a need for repentance and salvation. And I pray that, Lord, believing that you can do all things. With your head still bowed, let me ask a question this morning. How many in the room this morning say, "Preacher, I know that I'm saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. I'm a born-again Christian." Would you slip your hand up and wave it around a little bit? Thank you. Don't be ashamed of him. He won't be ashamed of you. Amen. How many of you who have claimed to know the Lord of glory would also say, "I followed him in believer's baptism. I am born again and I have been baptized. I have been dunked." That's good. A good number, but not as many as before. That would tell me that that's something that needs to be tended to. Needs to be tended to for some individuals in this room. Last question. No one looking around. We're not going to embarrass anybody this morning. I'm the only one that's got their head up and looking this morning. And I think I can be trusted.